Blog Talk Radio.
We're broken people now.
Never be nothing, ain't that something? I've risen from the bottom, I got them eyes on the prize, and inside them, damn right I overcame. Y'all know the name, we similar but never been the same. Everybody, yeah, they know the name. Right now, I'ma make it somehow, make it some way. Yeah, you know we gon' get it today. Like, I'm all on my own now, but won't ever let you down, won't let you down,
down, down.
Yes, I've been through it, they know I do it for the people I'm fighting, so we be equal for my son and my sequel, and anybody who listening in they system like venom, I get in them and spread viciously. This is me.
We're broken people now.
Giving it every part of myself on the real, you would think I'd be asthmatic. Allergic to your bullshit, yeah that's right, I done had it. Real all the time, if you rep it, get it tatted right now. It's right here, a vibe right now. I am too alive right now, I'm alive right now. Come on, feel the vibe right now. Feel the vibe, feel the vibe, feel the vibe. Yes, I've been through it, they know I do it for the people I'm fighting, so we be equal for my son and my sequel, and anybody who listening in they system like venom, I get in them and spread viciously. This is
we're
me.
We're broken people now. Between our streets, we're broken people now. We're broken people now.
By the looks of it, we certainly are. Broken people. My name is Yamsuf Arif, and this is the Real Talk for Real People show. A show that is designed to help fix that brokenness. Because it's all about relationships. And what's important is relationships. From your almighty and to strangers. Seeing this, we don't have any idea what those relationships call for. And we are totally confused about everything. And that's why the Real Talk for Real People show has been designed to give you a bird's eye view of the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Yaqub. And his expectation out of that relationship, how that relationship can work for you or work on you. And in accordance in relationship to that, relationships with one another. And it's true. We don't know about relationships. And the evidence doesn't lie. Just look at us. Look at us in our communities. You see, when a police officer killed one of us, We're irate that we like to march, protest, and sometimes burn things down. But when we kill each other in our communities, not much is said. But we are the same one who are the tough-talking Tony the Tigers of the communities, are the twerking Tigerettes of the communities. We have no idea whatsoever what those relationships call for. That's why we are a hot mess and we are what we are. We love lying to ourselves and to each other. That's why we are who we are. We love talking about a so-called black culture. That's why we are who we are. A black culture, blacked out. A black culture. And certainly that it seems to be the case now, doesn't it? Blacked out. Just do whatever you want to do to each other. Ain't nobody going to call you up on it. As a matter of fact, other nations been doing it. Why not us? Why not join in? If you can't beat them, join. So it seems to be the case with some of us. And that's why these studies are essential and important also. And certainly in regards to different nations, we don't have any idea how to ally, interact, and so on and so forth with different nations. But see, we do these studies to find out how to do so. We don't just do these studies for a warm, fuzzy feeling, to make ourselves feel good. We do these things because we need to know better and to do better in our relationship with our Creator, in our relationship with one another, and with strangers, different nations. Cartrell and I, we are happy to bring this study session to you, my brother, from New York City, Monday through Friday, the Most High willing, because we need these studies 24/7, 365 days in a year, plus a day in leap year, if possible. We need all hands on deck in these study sessions, truth be told. And the evidence doesn't lie, not does it. Well, well. But before I get into it, I say, you know what? You know, they were talking about something. I called Abby over the weekend. And that's another reason why these studies are essential. Because if you're looking for your enemy to tell you the truth, don't hold your breath. As I said, I was discussing a conversation with Abby over the weekend. And I said, Abby, I was looking at that thing they was talking about, Jerusalem, the city of Jerusalem. And I had to turn it off immediately. I said, reason being, they started off lying. And if you start off lying, far as I'm concerned, you'll end up lying. And I told her they was talking about King David, him but a shepherd boy, and King Saul, and Goliath, and the Philistines, and so on and so forth. And they were somewhat started right on point. They didn't go into detail. They didn't go into the detail element of why King David was on the site. They said King David was bringing his brothers lunch. But by studies, which in fact we knew that King young David, the shepherd boy, was bringing his brothers supplies. You know, not just lunch, supplies. And they said in their studies that Goliath was disparaging Elohim, which was true. And King David took issue with it, which was true. And they just made like the young shepherd boy, King David, just ran out on the field. No intercourse of conversation and so on and so forth with his brothers, with the fellow Israelites, with King Saul, nothing. He just ran on to the field. But what really got me and stopped me and made me turn the television on, when you start lying. You see, they pointed out the fact that King Saul and his sons perished on battlefield, which was true. And King Saul saw the demise of the troops and he was depressed about it and asked his Arnsberg to kill him, which was not the case by our studies, and we know better. We knew that King Saul was shot through by arrows by the Philistines. And because he did not want to be mutilated by the Philistines, he said, I don't want to be made a mockery, and they mock my body, you know, and I'm dying. You know, I don't want these uncircumcised dogs to humiliate me. So he asked his armbearer to dispatch him, which the armbearer refused. And so King Saul fell upon his sword. But they didn't say that. They just said, they didn't say anything about him being pierced with arrows. And he just killed himself. And then further add insult to injury, they said the very armbearer that dispatched King Saul, because King Saul asked him to, his armbearer, which was a lie. The armbearer would not do that. And the armbearer, the very who they said, ran to King Dawood and told him what had transpired. And King Dawood, they said, by their studies, got irate and so on and so forth and cut the throat of the armbearer. Man, I stopped right there. I stopped right there because I know better. And fellow students, you know better too because of your studies with us. And that's why I said, do not allow your enemy to tell you about your history. You know, if they lie about their history, what you think they'll tell you about your history? Huh? On the other, the same side of the coin, if they lie about their history, don't you suspect that they will lie about your history? And when I saw that, I clicked the television. I said, no mas, no mas, no more, no more. That's Spanish. But before we get started in our studies, I want to say this. You know, I like to make comments on contemporary subject matters. I'm going to say this quickly. The violence internationally and nationally, us on against us, is escalating because of a lack of understanding what these relationships calls for. And the social engineering and conditioning of the dominant society in this culture, in this Western Hemisphere, by virtue of their television shows and the feminization of the males by virtue of their television shows. And not only by their television shows, by the music that they elect to put out into the communities, the violent music that they elect to put out, the disrespectful music for our women are concerned, and the demeaning disrespectful music for our communities are concerned. And so it should go without saying that what is happening should be expected, especially if you subscribe to that nonsense. And so if you don't subscribe to what relationships should be about, you're going to remain broken people. If you don't subscribe to what the Most High God of Abraham, the Almighty, praise his holy name, says in regards to relationship with him, most importantly, in a relationship to one another, secondarily, and strangers, the outcome of the foregone conclusion, if you don't study as we do. And also, they are speaking, the violence is escalating, as I said, and also the wildfires in this Western Hemisphere is going out of control. And in Germany, the flooding, I believe Switzerland's flooding, the escalation, some people say climate change. I just said the Most High changing. They say climate change. I said the Most High changing thing. So. And also, and they're speaking about perhaps the dollar may start to it's a term for it, inflation. And what is inflation? Let me tell you in a nutshell what inflation is. Inflation is demand and what you have on hand. So if I'm a group of people and I have a high demand for certain items and you don't have those items on hand, and what you do have on hand, you had to sell for an inflated rate because that's all you got. So it's called inflationary spending. And they said that perhaps things may become a case, just like when President Carter was in charge. It was an inflation at that time. It means they don't have the items at hand. They have a lot of people demanding those certain items. And so the items inflate in their cost, overinflate for what you would buy. Say, for instance, you would buy a dozen of eggs. You got 1,000 people. And 1,000 people buying 1,000 pack of eggs. So it's going to be at a stable rate. But say, for instance, you have 1,000 people and you only have 500 sets of dozen of eggs. So the cost would inflate because they could name the price. They could determine the cost of the price because you got a high demand, but you only got a few items in order to put on the shelf. So the price inflates, okay? It's called inflationary spending. So they think because of the fact the infusion of money that these so-called smart people are putting into the communities by virtue of the giveaways and so on and so forth, it may cause inflationary spending. So that remains to be seen. Okay, let me bring my dear brother and friend on from New York City. Cartrell, may the Most High bless you, brother. Your mic is hot. Shalom.
All praise to the Holy One of Israel, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob. Shalom, family. May the Most High bless you. Yom Tov Ari. May the Most High bless you and your family.
Thank you very much, my brother and friend. I appreciate it. May he bless you and your family also, brother.
I appreciate it, though. Thank you.
Thank you.
Said a mouthful, man. I ain't got too much to comment on. Broke it down pretty much.
Okay.
And, I'm just keeping moving, man.
Keeping it moving. You okay, brother? You all right?
Yeah, I'm all right.
Okay.
I just said, you know,
okay.
Got too much thought, so what you spoke about.
Okay.
It is what it is.
It is what it is.
And they do what they do.
And they do what
we're going to learn our lesson.
Yeah, if we don't open the book up, we certainly won't, Cartrell, now will we?
Well, that's what we're trying to do. Open up the book.
Open up the book. You know, just like I brought to, and I do apologize, Cartrell, that I brought to attention on that show they had on talking about Jerusalem and so on. And they started off lying, and I heard it immediately turned it. I don't need to hear no lies, okay? And because, you know, I know the studies by virtue of us studying together on the Real Talk for Real People show, the dynamics and the details of King David, King Saul, his sons, and so on and so forth. So for them to lie, you know, I don't want to hear no lies. That's why we study, Kadri.
And if you didn't study, you wouldn't know. And you would think what they're saying is true.
Exactly.
Most of our people, because they're supposedly the authorities, they take what they say rather than read for themselves.
Right. And you can't trust your enemy to tell you the truth, Godfrey. You cannot do that, man. I'm talking in regards to anything in any matter. I mean, taking a word for gospel truth, man, it's simply fool's paradise to do so, Godfrey. All right. Well, Cartrell, fellow students, if Cartrell say he said he's gonna, he don't have too much to say on it, he's ready to get busy in work. So let's put it to work for the Most High's sake, because Cartrell wants to. Turn to First Chronicles, chapter 22, We're going to put in some work and study. May the Most High bless us by the study of his word. Then after that, let's apply this study. So we'll know when things come on, if people said, thus said Yah, or that in another, or what said, or what King Darwin said, or what King Saul said, what Jonathan said. Well, you'll know what they said because why? You studied what they said. Don't let your enemy tell you about your history. It's not going to work for you. And it's always going to come out with a lie. Sword of the angel of Yah. Okay, King David, he was unable to go worship Yah because he was terrified by the sword of the angel of Yah, where the Ark of the Covenant was. So King David said, here will be the house of Yah. Now, here's what it's going to be right here. This is the cornerstone right here. Here the altar of the burnt offering for Israel. So King David gave orders to assemble the aliens. Who are the aliens? Different nations living in the land of Israel. And assigned them to be healers, to quarry and to dress stones. So they were paid for it. They were paid a fair price. The house of Yah. Much iron for nails for the doors of the gate, class and class that King David would lay aside. He was putting this in stock for his son, King Solomon. So much copper, it could not be weighed. And cedar logs without numbers from the Sidonians. The Tyrians brought many cedar logs to King David. King David thought, my son Solomon is an untried youth. And the house to be built for the Elohim is to be made exceedingly great to win fame and glory throughout the land. I want to make this spot so fabulous. Not by my own ego run amok, and not for King Solomon, my son, to be king in waiting. Why? So it be made great to win fame and glory throughout the land. The fame and glory, not for King David, not for Solomon, but for Yah. Let me then lay aside material for him, because he don't know he a young fella. So King David laid aside much material before he died. Then he summoned his son Solomon and charged him with building the house of Yah, Elohim of Israel. King David said to King Solomon, my son, I wanted to build a house for the name of Yah, my Elohim. But the word of Yah came to me, saying, you have shed much blood. Blood is on the men and fought great battles. You should not build a house for my name, for you have shed much blood on the earth. And I cannot accept that in my sight. Even though what you were doing was right, I cannot accept that. But you will have a son who will be a man at rest. I'm going to make the land rest, peaceful, no more warring. I will give him rest from all of his enemies on all sides. King Solomon will be his name. I shall confer peace and quiet on Israel in this time. I'm going to do this. He ain't doing it. I'm going to do this. And I will give him time to build a house for my name. He shall be a son to me. And I to him a father. I will establish his throne of kingship over Israel forever. That throne. But now, my son, King David said, may Yah be with you. And may you succeed on building the house of Yah, your Elohim, as he promised you would. Listen to me, though. In order to facilitate this, you must facilitate your relationship with Yah. And he says to him, only let Yah give you sense and understanding and put in your charge and put you in charge of Israel in the observance of the teaching of Yah, your Elohim. Only if you facilitate the relationship with Yah, him directing all your steps, then you shall succeed. If you observantly carry after laws and the rules that Yah charged Moses, you go along with the codification and specification that Yah charged Moses to lay upon Israel, be strong, of good courage. Do not be afraid or dismayed. See, I deny myself. I've laid aside for the house of Yah 100,000 talents of gold and 1 million talents of silver. And so much copper and iron, it cannot be weighed. I've helped facilitate to make things better for you, son. I've also laid aside wood and stone. And you should add to them an abundance of workmen at your disposal, hewers, workers in stone and wood, every kind of crafting and every kind of material, gold, silver, copper, iron without limit. Go and do it. May Yah be with you. King David charged all the officers of Israel to support his son, King Solomon. See, Yah, your Elohim, is with you. He will give you rest on every side. For he delivered the inhabitants of the land into my hands so that the land lies conquered before Yah and before his people. Now set your minds and hearts on. Now y'all got the leisure time. You ain't got to worry about fighting no more. Now's the opportunity for y'all to set y'all minds and hearts on worshiping Yah, your Elohim. Focus on that and go build the sanctuary of Yah, your Elohim, so that you may bring the Ark of the Covenant of Yah and the holy vessel of Yah to the house that is built for the name of Yah. He said, Yah has given y'all time to be at rest, to be at peace, to focus, to meditate, to muse, to stay on his word. He's giving y'all this time, not only my son, but all of you. Take full advantage of it. Learn about the codification. Learn about how to help facilitate the relationship with Yah. How to enhance it and build it up. But I don't think they took full advantage of that country. I don't think King Solomon did, unfortunately. To our hurt and our founding fathers, to our hurt, followed the codification. Tried to enhance and build up that relationship with the Creator. To improve their relationship. Thus it cost him. Just like it's costing us today, Kajil, fellow students. Go ahead, Kajil. What's your comments?
Well, we know that they give credit to King Solomon for the first temple being built.
Right.
But we can see how meticulous his father, King David, was in preparing him to build the temple.
Exactly.
Everything he needed was right there. And the only reason King David didn't do it himself was because the Most High said, I don't want you to do it because you're a warrior. You've been fighting wars and you got blood in your hands. So the vibration that you bring can be on the temple. The next king got to do it, one of your sons, who is at peace, which you brought to the nation. Because King David brought peace to the nation. He's at peace with the nations around him. And it shows that they're cooperating with him in the building of this temple.
Mm-hmm.
So this temple wasn't built by just Israelites.
No.
It was built by the surrounding nations as well.
Right.
Which says a lot.
Mm-hmm. Right. You're certainly right, Kajil. You're certainly right.
So King Solomon was set up by his father, King David. And they talk about the temple of King Solomon, but really, in truth, I mean, King David gave King Solomon everything that he needed, including the laborers to build a temple, gave him everything that he needed. It was all right there.
Yeah, he had everything prepared for the building of that temple. I mean, it just, you know, like you said, Kajil, It's about relationships. We always say it's about relationship. And the father tried to ensure that his relationship with his son was a continuum. And he made sure that he had the material and things needed in order to facilitate. I'm sure he had plans provided for King Solomon in order for King Solomon to follow blueprint plans for what that temple would look like and so on and so forth. So it wasn't like, as Kashira pointed out to you, it wasn't like King Solomon started out in the dark. It wasn't like that. He had everything prepared and set up for him. It's like somebody giving you a puzzle. And all that he had to do was put the puzzle together. And basically, that's what King Dawood did, gave his son a puzzle. The only thing he had to do was put the puzzle together. You know, he had already given him everything he needed to put it together. And I have to concur with Cartrell. You know, they said Solomon's temple. I think they don't give the credit to King Dawood that they should give to him. Go ahead, Cartrell.
So gave him everything that he needed, including spiritual counsel. Told him to be strong and have good courage and to do this thing along with the elders of Israel.
Exactly.
Because y'all deserve this. Why should we be carrying this old dirty tent around when we living good and we got this tent? We should build a house for the Most High. And to King Solomon's credit, he did it.
Yeah. To King Solomon's credit, he did. He put the puzzle together. Unlike some of us, Kaichiro. We don't like to study. We don't like to put the puzzle together. We want everybody to put something together for us, and we believe everything what everybody says once they put it together. Hey, Kaichiro.
Well, how's that been working for us?
Well, Cartier, by the looks of it, the evidence doesn't lie. Not very well. Not very well.
So how about trying what the Most High Yah told us to do to see if that works for us?
Now, I would have to concur with you on that, Cartier. I would have to definitely concur with you on that. If you tried to rest, why not try to rest? Amen, Kajia. Sheila, I would have to concur with you on that. If you didn't try to rest, why not try the best? Well, Kajia, if you're done with your commentary, I certainly am, my brother and friend. Let's continue on, shall we?
Yes, sir.
When King Dawood reached the ripe old age, chapter 23 of 1 Chronicles, he made his son Solomon king over Israel. Then King Dawood assembled all the officers of Israel and the priests and the Levites. The Levites from the age of 30 and upward were counted. The head counts of their males were 38,000. Of these, there were 24,000 in charge of the work of the house of Yah, 6,000 officers and magistrates, 4,000 gatekeepers, 4,000 for praising Yah with instruments I devised for singing praises. King Dawood formed them into divisions. The sons of Levi, Gershon, Kohath, Merari, the Gershonites, Ladan, and Shimuel. The sons of Ladan, Jehiel, the chief of Zatham, and Joel. The sons of Shemuel, Shelophmeh, Haziel, Haram. These were the prince of the clans of the Ladanites. The sons of Shemuel, Jehat, Zina, Jehush, Barat. These were the sons of Shemuel, four. Jehat was the prince, and Zah. The second, Jehush, Barah, did not have many children. So they were enrolled together as a single clan family. The sons of Kohath, Amram, Hebron, Uzziel, the sons of Amram, and Aaron, and Moses. Aaron was set apart, he and his sons, forever to be consecrated as holy, to make burnt offerings to Yah and serve him and pronounce blessing in his name forever as high priest. As for Moses, the man of Yah, his sons were named after the tribe of Levi, the Moses, Gershom, and Eliezer. The sons of Gershom, Shebuel, the prince, and the sons of Eliezer were Rehabiah, the prince. Eliezer had no other sons, but the sons of Rehabiah were very numerous, coming from Moses. The sons of Asha, Shelomith, the prince, the sons of Hebron, Jael, the prince, Amariah, the second, Yahaziah, the third, Jekamim, the fourth, the sons of Uzziel, Makkah, the prince, Haziah, the second, the sons of Mariah, Mahala, and Musha, the sons of Mahala, Eleazar, and Kish. Eleazar died having no sons, but only daughters. The sons of Kish, their kinsmen married them. The sons of Musha, Mahala, Edir, Jerima, three. These were the sons of Levi by clans, family, hereditary houses, with their hereditary houses, princesses, as they were enrolled, with a list of the names by heads, who did the work of the service of the house of Yah from the age of 20 and upward. For King Dawud said, the house of Yah of Israel has given rest to his people. Yah, the Elohim of Israel, have given rest to his people and made his dwelling in Jerusalem forever. Therefore, the Levites need not carry the tabernacle and all his vessels, various service vessels, not anymore. Among the last acts of King Dawud was the counting of the Levites from the age of 20, not all of them, and upward. For their appointment was alongside the Aaronites, Aaron's descendants, for the service of the house of Yah, to look after the courts, the chambers, the purity of all the holy things, the performance of the service of the house of Yah, the rolls of bread, the fine flour for meal offerings, and the unleavened wafers, the cakes made on griddles and soaked, every measure of capacity and length by specification, and to be present every morning to praise and extol the Elohim. At evening too, whenever offerings were made to Yah according to the quantities prescribed for them, on Sabbaths, new moons, and holidays, regularly before Yah. And so to keep watch over the tent of the tabernacle, over the holy things, over the Aaronites, the high priests, and their kinsmen, for the service of the house of the Elohim. Okay. I think that was self-explanatory. But Cartrell may have some more detailed information for you on it. Cartrell?
Yes, sir.
Okay. We're waiting on you, my brother.
Trying to get my phone off.
No, yeah, I figured that. I figured that what was going on, brother.
But like I said, it pretty much laid out. King David laid out the order for when the temple was going to be built. He laid it out according to the way it was laid out for Moses and for the nation. We know that Aaron and his sons were there for the service of the house of Yah, and he put them all in order. So we see the first signs of the nation being organized on the political and religious side, or the spiritual side, as we would say. He gave charge to the Levites, like he was supposed to.
How would he know that, Kadra? How would he know that? The only way he would know that by studying that, would he? Okay. All right. All right.
So he went and studied the books and found out who was who and what was what and how it was supposed to be ordered, and he put it in the proper order. Aaron's sons are the priests, not just any old Levite, and he put all the rest of them in accordance to their order, the sons of Merari, the sons of Kohath, and the sons of Gershon. So we could also see that the sons of Merari, Mali, Mushi, the sons of Mali and Eleazar, so Eleazar died and had no sons but daughters.
Right.
Their brothers were the sons of Kish, took them.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I don't know if this Kish is the Benjamite, that's the father of King Saul.
Right.
But it's another brother from the tribe of Levi named Kish.
Right.
But I think they're talking about another brother named Kish from the tribe of Levi.
Right. Because I think only a Levi could only marry a Levi woman. Is that true?
No.
Okay.
Levi could marry anybody from any tribe, but the tribes had to marry within their tribes.
Okay, okay. You're saying someone from the tribe of Yehuda could marry a Levi woman.
A Levi can marry a daughter from the tribe of Judah, yes.
Okay, okay. All right, that's all I need to know. But you say, but it was recommended that you marry within the tribe, but it wasn't ostracized if you did.
No.
Okay. Good deal, Cartrell. All right. Yeah, but then, that being said, Cartrell, But if it was a male from the tribe of Yehuda married a Levite woman, well, the sons of the daughter would be seen as Yehudites, right? From the father's lineage, right?
Right.
Okay, gotcha. Okay. Do you have any more commentary, Katria?
The Buzz Boy is a pastor, but no. We can see that it's the first time we've seen the lineage of Moses and his son.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I took note of that. That Moses had a lineage of a Levite's heritage, and they mentioned him. Yeah, I took note of that. And I hope the fellow students took note of it also, Kaiser.
And the sons of Moses were part of the Kohathite troop.
Right.
Whatever duties the Kohathites had, that's what Moses' sons were involved in.
Right. They wouldn't have priest guys.
No.
All right. Well, Katria, if you're done with your commentary, brother, we're done with our studies in Chronicles, and we're waiting on our last but not least study, the Songs of Solomon, and one of the beautiful songs.
Well, it's not the Songs of Solomon. It's the Psalms of King.
Yeah,
Psalms
right,
of King David.
You know my favorite, bro. I do apologize, Dr.
Yeah, the Bus Boys, they always come around when we have these study sessions. They don't wait. They wait until we have these study sessions.
That ain't them.
All day long until about now.
Yeah, they bull around. Yeah, all right. We ain't gonna stop doing what we do, brother.
Y'all can hear me?
Yeah, we hear you.
Hey, buddy.
Yeah, we here. We don't pay them no mind. We be so focused on our study, we block them out, brother. Yeah. We block them out.
All right. So we're in the 42nd chapter of the Book of Psalms. We want to give thanks and praise to the Most High Yah, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob, for even creating our King, King David, imparting upon him the wisdom, knowledge, and understanding that he had to even share with us, so that we could connect with our Creator.
Right.
So we bless the reading of these words. We ask that the Most High bless the soul of our King, King David.
Hallelujah. Amen.
In the 42nd chapter of the Book of Psalms, it says, as the heart panteth after the water brooks, so panteth my soul after thee, O Yah. Again, King David's focus is on the preservation and the duration of his soul. He said, my soul thirsteth for Elohim, for the living Elohim. When shall I come and appear before Elohim? So he knows that we all have to appear before Yah and account for the works that we have done. And when we appear in that manner, our soul is in the balance. Are you going to go into Sheol, or is y'all going to preserve and restore your soul?
Hey, and you said, what chapter were you at, Cottrell?
42.
Oh, 42. I thought you said 45.
No.
Wait just a minute. Let's see. Okay. All right.
So we're in the third verse.
Okay.
He said, my tears have been my meat day and night, while they continually say unto me, where is thy Elohim? King David the mighty man, let us know that he wasn't above crying tears.
He was
crying out to the Most High Yah. So they asked the question.
Hey, if I could be rude for a minute, Katria, and I do apologize, Abiyah says you're on 43.
I didn't read 42 yet. I know I haven't read 42 yet.
Well, don't continue reading 42 then.
I know I haven't read 42 yet.
Contrail, as I said, my brother, we ain't gonna make this difficult. Finish reading, start and finish reading 42. We moving on, brother. If you said you didn't read it, I can't remember what I did yesterday. Okay, so ain't no sense me telling you. I remember it. Okay, so I have two important people that I listen to. That is Abiyah and Katria. And I'm not about to argue with either, okay? So you go read 42, brother, okay?
He said, when I remember these things, I fought my soul in me, for I had gone with the multitude. I went with them to the house of Elohim with the voice of joy and praise, with the multitude that keeps the holy day. Why art thou cast down, O my soul? Why art thou disquieted within me? Hope thou in Elohim, for I shall yet praise him for the help of his countenance. O my Elohim, my soul is cast down within me. Therefore I will remember thee from the land of Jordan and from the Hermonites, from the hill of Mizar. Deep calleth unto thee at the noise of thy waterspout. All thy ways and all thy billows are gone over me. Yet Yah will command his loving kindness in the daytime. And in the night, his song shall be with me, and my prayer unto the Elohim of my life. I will say unto Elohim, my rock, why hast thou forgotten me? Why do I go mourning because of the oppression of the enemy? As with the sword in my bones, my enemy reproach me, while they say daily unto me, where is your God? Why art thou cast down, O my soul? Why art thou disquieted within me? Hope thou in Elohim, for I shall yet praise him, who is the health of my countenance and my Elohim. So a lot of the things that King David went through, we're going through right now.
Exactly.
And we should be crying out to him as much as he cried out to Yah.
Amen.
For him to help us, to relieve us, to deliver us out of all the troubles that we get. So we love the pattern that he set for us, and we need to pray in the manner that King David prayed to our Creator.
Amen, brother. Amen.
Amen.
I thank you, Cartrell, my brother and friends. Fellow students, thank you for studying with us. And we pray that you've studied, now that you've studied. Now it's up to you. Our hands are out of the matter now. It's up to you. You must apply your studies. We can talk theory all day long, but until you apply it, it does you no world of good. That doesn't. Patria, do you have any closing remarks to the students before we get out of here? Cartrell, do you have any closing remarks to the students before we get out of here?
Yeah, my phone is acting up.
Okay.
But I just want to give thanks and praise to Mosiah for allowing us to read his words and to go over these things, to gain wisdom, knowledge, and understanding so he can heal us because we are broken people.
Exactly.
And there's no remedy, no cure for us being offered to us by the people that oppress us, and they just got us going in circles and chasing carrots. So we give thanks that the Most High gives us foundation, you know, to seek him out and to know him better than we've known him in the past, and to do better than we've done with him in the past. So we have to learn from our ancient fathers' mistakes and do better than they did, and win Yah's favor so that he could take us out of the situation that we're in, because we're in trouble, whether we realize it or not.
Exactly. Real big trouble. And just like I think you used it, what's going on with them trying to do a Greek festival during a hurricane, so to speak, for 19. How are you going to try to do a Greek festival during a hurricane, a tsunami, and to show the insanity of people, the deep people trying to do what they're doing? For us, this is, and you talk about Cartrell, not crazy. No, this is crazy, what they're trying to do. All right, fellow students, Cartrell and I, we don't know very much, but we do know this for certainty. You're getting ready to get out of here. You've been listening to the Real Talk for Real People show, studying right along with us, and now you know, and now you must put in the work and apply. We love you. May the Most High bless you. May he direct and order your steps. Stop leaning to your own understanding. It is not cute, and this is not working for you. It's working against you. At the end of most every show, we like to suggest something to help facilitate your studies and improve and enhance your relationship with the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Yaqub, which is to get you a new heart and spirit, as King David asked, which to help facilitate his improvement with his relationship with the Elohim. We suggest the very same thing for you. If it's good enough for a king, it should be good enough for you. Ask for one, a new spirit and a new heart. Ones that love Yah with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength. Your brothers and sisters as yourself, after righteousness. We love you. May the Most High bless you. Shalom and good night. Thank you.
open our eyes. Open our eyes. Open our eyes. Lord, open our eyes. He has given us hills and mountains. He has given us, oh yeah, level plain. Shelter from the storm and rain. Oh yeah, and all that he provided kept us good, good. Oh yeah, from the storm and the pain. Rent us. Ascension cease. Let our faith increase. Oh yeah. And master, yeah, yeah. Oh yeah. Open our eyes. Open our eyes. Children.